In his career as a Republican political consultant, commentator Jay Bryant had a lot of experience with going negative in a campaign, and he'd like to pass along some of what he learned.
Just in time for the 2004 campaign, here's your voter's guide to negative political campaigning.
John Kerry, wrong on taxes, wrong on defense.
Once again, George Bush is misleading America. John Kerry has...
The first thing to remember is that negative commercials are not bad things. Any one of them may be bad, but they're not inherently bad. That's because you, the voters, deserve to know the good points and the bad points about the candidates who seek your support. And who better to tell you the bad points than a candidate's opponent? I mean, the candidates aren't going to tell you themselves. You've never heard a candidate say, "I want you to vote for me,
but there's a few things you ought to know."
They're not going to tell you they sold out years ago to big oil or the labor bosses, or that they've got a terrible drinking problem. And if they do admit to some flaw or other, it's usually because they know the negative commercials are on the way and they want to soften the blow by appearing to be forthcoming. That tactic even has a name in the politics business. It's called inoculation. Your responsibility as a voter is to consider each negative message and make a two-part decision about it. First, whether you believe it's true, and second, the extent to which you believe it's relevant to your decision in the voting booth. If you don't believe it or don't care about it, the attack will fail as far as you're concerned. A lot of very valuable information is carried in negative commercials. Overall, perhaps more than in positive commercials, which are often fluffy, feel-good productions that don't really say much.
I'm optimistic about America because I believe in the people of America.
I believe Americans can change this country.
Americans are hardworking, decent, generous people.
We need to get some things done in this country.
But a negative commercial is much more likely to be specific, issue-driven, and to the point. Negative commercials provide information about the sponsor's opponent. They also provide a lot of information about the sponsor because they reveal what that candidate feels is important. And they convey a lot of information about the voters because candidates don't spend their precious resources on an argument unless they're convinced, usually correctly, that the issue is one that will resonate with the people. Speaking of responding, the candidates being attacked respond too. Or at least they should. As a voter, you have the right to assume that any charge not countered stands as stated. In his or her response, a candidate has four options. One, deny the charge, as President Bush did when he was accused of having been AWOL during his National Guard service. Two, explain his side of the story, as Mr. Kerry did with regard to having flip-flopped on supporting the Iraq War. Three, admit the truth of the charge, but state that it no longer applies. This works best when the charge involves something that happened a long time ago. Four, a candidate can respond by simply attempting to discredit the source. Watch out for that one. It almost always means the candidate couldn't deny it, wouldn't explain it, and refused to apologize for it. Contrary to popular opinion, campaigns are probably less filled with scurrilous attacks than in the past. Thomas Jefferson's campaign charged that John Adams was a secret royalist who meant to turn America into a monarchy. And the Adams forces stooped to publicizing Jefferson's alleged affair with his slave, Sally Hemings. The nation survived that, as it did James G. Blaine's chant of "Ma, Ma, Where's My Pa?", Lyndon Johnson's Daisy commercial, and a long list of other nasty stuff. So listen to what the candidates are saying this year about themselves and their opponents.
Jay Bryant writes online at theoptimate.com.